following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
All right. Hey, welcome, Refuge Family. Today we are just about to, well, of course we are doing this today. welcome to today's Refuge Daily. My name is Chase. I'm one of the pastors here. And today I get the privilege of being able to share with you guys. So let's pray, and we're going to get into our time. Father, we thank you for just your word. God, we thank you that it is alive, it's living, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And anytime we get into it, Lord, we believe that you, Lord, want to, Lord, transform our minds and our hearts to be more like your son, Jesus. And so, God, in this time frame, may it be practical, may it be an opportunity to be reminded of the truths of who you are, and may it shape and change us as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So in light of what we've received in the gospel, as well as the new life that we've been given, the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4 these words. He says, "Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting and slander be removed from you, along with all malice." So there is just tons packed into just this one verse. And in fact, if we were to really break down what all of those words mean, I think we could actually take hours just to talk about it, right? But obviously we don't have hours today. We have 15 minutes. And so what we're going to do is we're going to focus in specifically on one of those words. And the one word that I want us to focus in on is the word bitterness. Now, we live in a world that is full of things that happen, right? There's injustices that go on. There are people, maybe people in different places, people that are in leadership, people that are a part of our lives, people that we look up to, who let us down. There are people who we love who hurt us, right? There are people who hurt us maybe around us, right? Maybe we've hurt others. And in that type of environment, it can be really easy to become bitter because of those things. So how does then a person not become bitter? That's really the question that we're asking. And so today I actually have four truths for us that I think are really helpful. If we practice them, they're really helpful for being able to battle becoming bitter. And I think these are truths specifically from the scriptures for the believer. Okay, so you guys ready for those? All right, so number one is healthy conflict. Number one is healthy conflict. Where do we get that from? Well, in Matthew 18, Jesus actually talks about, hey, if there's anything that you have kind of against another person, or, you know, if there's kind of just this thing going on between you guys, he says, talk to them personally, right? You're to go to them. And he goes on to give these different steps of then you're to bring someone else into it if they don't respond well to it, and then eventually to the church. But the whole desire behind talking to someone is really that it would be a restoring of that relationship, right? Because as believers, we're meant to be united in our pursuit of Jesus. We're to be united in the desire to reflect Jesus and the gospel into the world around us. And so when it comes to our relationships with one another, we want unity. We want things to be restored, right? I think a lot of times we think of conflict kind of with this negative connotation where we think, oh man, if I have to talk to someone, then it's got to be really, really bad, right? That was kind of my background. I would kind of avoid maybe having conversations with someone. But, you know, there is so much, I think, that can be lost when we don't have those conversations, right? We could start assuming certain things. Of course they meant to do this to me. Of course they meant to hurt me in this way. What does 1 Corinthians 13 tell us? It says, hey, love hopes all things, believes all things. And so we, in having conversations, we allow the enemy to not get that foothold in, right? We get to go to that person directly. We get to hear their heart. And not only do we see sometimes there was things that was accidental, right? But also, conflict is really bringing to surface the things that are already there. So it's really important to not assume, but rather to have those conversations. In fact, you even see in Jesus' own ministry, Though he was perfect completely, who never sinned, there was time frames where he had conflict with others, but it was always for the desire, with the desire of, again, restoring their relationships back to God, right? And so for us as believers, we want to restore relationship, and that's why we would have healthy conflict in it, right? Secondly, the second truth that I think is so important to helping us to not become bitter or against the fight against bitterness is trusting God's sovereignty. Why do I say that? Well, again, when it comes to understanding, an aspect of who God is one that, you know, he's in control, right? He rules and he reigns over everything. And that is something that we can rest in. We can rest in the fact that, you know, when it comes to the things that happen in our life, God's not like, oh man, I totally missed that one. Or, oh man, like I can't believe that happened. Rather, he knows all these different things. He holds everything together, the scriptures would say. And the awesome part for the believer is we get to trust that, you know what Romans 8 tells us, he works everything for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. And I love one of the ways that just is kind of reflected in one of the Old Testament stories of Ruth. You know, in the book of Ruth, it basically starts out with everything going bad for Naomi. Naomi was married. She had two sons and two sons who were married, right? And so she loses her husband. She loses her two sons. And then her two daughter-in-laws lose their husbands, right? So she goes back to Jerusalem. I believe they were Israel. I believe they were living in Edom at that time. But when she returns back to Israel, she says, hey, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara because I'm bitter, right? At the end of the book of Ruth, which is in Ruth 4, we get to see not only does God redeem the situation in a way that only he can. In fact, from the line of Naomi, right? Eventually, Boaz marries Ruth. And from the line of Ruth comes David. And then eventually comes Jesus, right? So the story, though it might have felt very much over for Naomi, it absolutely was not, because God was in control, and our God is good, and he's loving, and he loves his people. So trust that God is in control. Thirdly, forgive as you have been forgiven. That's from Ephesians chapter 4. It says that in the same way that Christ has forgiven us, we are to forgive other people. And that really is helpful when we recognize that God has forgiven us. Scripture would tell us that, in fact, it was when we were at enmity with God. Romans 5 tells us that, you know, God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, while we were still acting in rebellion towards him, like that's when he died for us, right? It's not this justification of, oh man, he actually did it because we were broken, because we were separated from him, right? And we were acting in this way that was rebellious towards him. And yet God, out of his love, seen fit to die for us and then reconcile us back to him and forgive us, right? And I think, you know, as believers, it shouldn't be that we've been like, okay, well, we were forgiven in the past and, you know, I kind of do this on my own. That's, Galatians would tell you, hey, you don't want to do that. In fact, man, you started here by trusting Jesus, but you don't want to move and think suddenly you're doing this by the flesh. Rather, man, as believers, as we mature, we should more and more recognize that, you know, we've been forgiven of so much more than we can ever recognize, right? There's so much more under the surface. As I've been walking with Jesus for longer and longer, I get to see, man, God, thank you so much for your grace, because I didn't realize that was there, right? Where, and I don't think that's a bad thing. In fact, you know, Jesus says that he who's forgiven of much loves much. And so as believers, more and more, we should be cherishing the forgiveness of Jesus, for cherishing the fact that God was so gracious to people that are broken like us. And so when it comes to others, we don't want to hold grudges against them, because though they might have hurt us, we still can forgive them. Not because they deserve it, but we didn't deserve the forgiveness of God, right? And yet, even though they don't deserve it per se, right, God has forgiven us, and so we want to reflect that same forgiveness to other people. That would be the motivation behind it, rather than just, you know, it's really easy to forget, because it's not always easy. And yet that's what we're called to as recipients, as people who have firstly received the forgiveness of God ourselves. Fourthly, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. That's from Matthew 5. Jesus says, you've heard it said that you know, what someone does evil to you, that you should do it back to them, right? He says, but I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In Romans 12, it kind of echoes that as the Apostle Paul says, you know what, bless those who persecute you, right? So the idea behind it is the people, even though they do not, they're not acting in a way that's correct toward us, they're not always acting in a way that is kind or good, or we feel like we would deem it them worthy of us responding in a right way toward them. He says, man, in light of God's grace toward us, we are to extend that grace to someone else and pray for them, right? And here's the awesome part is Romans 12 tells us, you know, it says, hey, don't worry about getting vengeance. Vengeance is mine. You can trust that, you know, forgiveness doesn't mean that, hey, God's not just inside this, because again, God sees all things and you know, he is just, perfectly just to be able to take care of those things, right? But man, God was so gracious in us, with us, that man, I'm thankful that he was not, didn't respond in justice right when, you know, when I committed something or when I fell short. And so God was very gracious in the way that he dealt with us. And so, you know, the awesome part about praying for those who persecute us, praying for those who hurt us, is the fact that God changes our hearts as we do that. You know, we get to see God just, you know, I don't know if you've ever experienced that where you're praying for someone and, you know, you're really angry, like, God, please change them. God, please do this inside them because they need it. And then you recognize that God is actually changing you at the same time. He's shaping you and he's, again, changing you to be more like him. Again, because that's what Jesus did for us. So the question then is, you know, let's say I put these things into practice. I'll try to live this out, but why is it even important for us as believers to not become bitter? And because I would say that when it comes to bitterness, bitterness often poisons things, or often poisons the taste of something, right? You know, for me, I grew up in a family where my mom was really into holistic health, right? And this was before it was cool. It was just weird at that time frame, right? But I'm really thankful for it. Like, there's lots of stuff that I learned from. But at that time frame, it was considered a weird thing, right? So instead of antibiotics when we were sick, my mom used to give us something called Nutribiotics. And basically, it was a form of grapeseed extract, right? And you would take the grapeseed extract, you would pour X amount of droplets into water, and it would taste so, so gnarly, right? Like, there was nothing wrong with the water. Water is pretty neutral when it comes to the taste, right? There's no one that says, oh, like, I hate the taste of water. Actually, for most of us, we either enjoy it or it's at least neutral for us, right? But when it came to these droplets of grapeseed extract, when it was poured into, even if there was like five or six of them, and the majority of it was water, it actually poisoned the water. Well, it helped us, right? But it poisoned the taste of the water in a way where you just taste it and you're like, oh, I can't even taste the water anymore. I just taste the grapeseed extract, right? Well, for us as believers, we're actually given the great privilege of this ministry of reconciliation, right? Where we are called and empowered by God's Spirit to share the gospel and to live in ways that reflect the beauty of our God, right? Where it actually, we're these witnesses and we get to testify of who God is to the world around, right? That's our call as believers. If you're a believer, that's your call. And similarly, though, I would say to the grapeseed extract that when we become bitter, right, when we're holding just this bitterness inside of us, right, it can begin to, rather than reflecting the beauty of who God is, it can often give people a bitter taste in their mouth, right, where they're like, oh, like, that's what a Christian's about, right? And they're like, oh, man, I don't know, like, I don't really see this change, right? When they were supposed to experience the goodness and the grace and the beauty of God's, love for them through us. And so, you know, it's really important, guys, that we do not let bitterness grab a hold of our hearts. Also, sometimes the bitterness can get in the way of, you know, experiencing or receiving the love of God for ourselves, right? Where we're thinking about how someone has hurt us so much that, man, we're not even focused on God. Man, this is who you are. This is what you've done for me. This is, man, what you want to do in me. This is how you want to speak to me, because we're so focused in here. And so, friend, family, I would tell you guys, man, put these things into practice. And don't let bitterness grab a root of your heart, but rather, man, walk in the abundant life that God has called you to. And so receive the forgiveness of God, also pour out the forgiveness of God. And again, man, life will be so much different. But not only that, but your witness will be a lot different. So that is what we have for us today. Let's pray and we'll get in. Yeah, let's pray. And man, thank you for joining us. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to just expound upon some of the truths of your word. God, we believe that maybe this was for someone specifically today. And so, God, would you please have your way in their hearts? God, maybe this is something for someone at a different date. Lord, I pray that they would store up these things in their hearts. And God, that they would put these truths into practice, that more and more we would live lives that fully reflect you in all areas of life. So we just thank you for this time, and we give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, family. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Friday.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.